This is Kevin Burke from the School of Kinesiology and Recreation at Illinois State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. High Noon in Mayberry is the title of this episode that aired back on January 21st, 1963. This episode was written by Jim Fritzl and Everett Grimbaum and was directed by Bob Sweeney. This episode starts out in the courthouse. We see Andy, Barney, and Otis in the courthouse. Otis is in the background, letting himself out of his cell to get something to drink out of the crock. No, not alcohol. We assume it's just water. Then puts himself back in the cell. Again, another little reminder that at the Mayberry courthouse that the criminals, so to speak, can come and go at some times, depending upon, you know, if they're friends of the sheriff or not. And then while Andy and Barney are sitting around the desk, they hear the mailman coming by, so they get up to go get the mail and have a funny little scene here where the mailman will not hand Andy the mail, although he's standing at the door. He drops it through the mail slot because it's an official receptacle, and that upsets Barney, and Barney ends up yelling at the mailman, thinks he's getting on his high horse because he's a federal employee and carrying a mail bag. So they go back to the desk, and one of the things I want you to notice is how much mail they get. I mean, they got a lot of mail, and so they're going through it. Some of it's for occupant, as they say. And then Barney gets a letter, and Andy gets a letter. And so they start going through the mail, and one of the things we see is a little bit of difference between Andy and Barney, which, of course, there's a lot of differences between Andy and Barney and Andy Griffith Show. But Barney gets a check basically saying that some of the stock he invested in, he gets a dividend, and the check is for only 27 cents. Now, you're not going to hear me say, or maybe you are, that that's a lot of money back then, but I don't think it was a lot of money. But what I want you to notice about it, and again, this reflects the simple life of Mayberry, is that, you know, Barney keeps looking at that check and the letter back and forth, smiling because he got 27 cents off his investment. So, again, it wasn't so much the money, it's just the fact that something he had done, you know, had gone right, and he'd made a little bit of money on it. He was proud of what he had done. So, again, it's sort of an interesting little look at the simple life in Mayberry. While Andy, who has his back to Barney at that moment, opens up a letter and starts reading, and we see a sort of an interesting look on Andy's face, and he makes one of his grunting noises, and Barney says, "What's going on?" And Andy says he's got a letter from Luke Comstock, and Barney tends to remember and describes briefly the shooting incident between Luke and Andy, and the letter basically says that Luke wants to come to town to set things straight. So, of course, another contradiction between Andy and Barney. You know, Andy doesn't think much is going to happen, but Barney thinks the absolute worst and thinks Luke Comstock is going to come back to shoot him and get him. And so Andy, who's unconcerned, is trying to be convinced by Barney that he should leave town or start to wear his gun. And, of course, Andy refuses to do either. So Barney goes into Big Brother mode here and decides that he needs to protect Andy, and maybe I should say Big Cousin mode, since they are cousins on the show. And he decides to deputize Gomer and Otis. Now, how wise a decision that is, I'm not really sure. But, again, there were sort of slim pickings to go over in Mayberry when it comes to deputizing. But Gomer and Otis are reluctant deputies, particularly Otis. And one of the key ingredients to trying to provide protection for Andy was that Barney said that Andy had to be protected without Andy knowing it. And the reason behind this is Barney knew that Andy would reject any kind of protection. You know, and I don't want to draw unusual parallels here, but, you know, many people say that Andy Griffith played the character like an Abraham Lincoln type character in Andy Griffith Show. And, you know, Abe Lincoln in historical times was also a president who really didn't feel like he needed protection. He always felt like if someone was going to get to him, they would. So anyway, another maybe similarity between Andy Griffith and Abraham Lincoln here, and you could really draw a lot of parallels there. But anyway, so Barney, after he deputizes Gomer and Otis, Barney decides to go over to Andy's house, and we see Andy and Barney there playing game. They played five games, and I could make it a trivia question of what they were playing, but I'm not going to make it an official trivia question, but I'll just leave it to that and let you wonder what that game was. If not, of course, you can watch the episode and figure it out. But anyway, all of a sudden, Gomer gives a signal, and so Barney decides he wants to leave, and it's about 11 o'clock at night, and so they decide that Barney to go outside, and he talks to Gomer, and we see a funny little episode here where Gomer and Otis are out running around the house, and they're trying to get to protect Andy, and you see Gomer jump up and scare Barney by accident, and then we also see Otis crawling around the house, and he, you know, Andy hears him, and so does Aunt Bee hear him. Well, Aunt Bee, we see one of the few times we see Aunt Bee's bedroom, and Aunt Bee actually comes to a window looking to see what's down there. And it looks like Otis is looking straight up and Aunt Bee's looking straight down, but it's unclear as to whether they actually see each other. So Otis starts making cat noises, and Aunt Bee takes a pan and or a bowl of some type and just drops it on Otis. Now, we don't know whether she knew it was Otis or thought it was a cat, but she just gets back in the bed. So it's a funny little scene that happens here. So the next morning and the next scene, we're back at the courthouse, and we see Andy telling Barney why it was a sweet idea. He feels it's unnecessary to have Gomer and Otis out there freezing all night trying to protect him, that he can take care of himself. And says, you know, he says basically they don't know Luke Comstock's even going to come to town. And then, of course, we get a camera goes over to the bus, and we see a man with a limp getting off, and the limp is because Andy had shot him in the leg and has a rifle case carrying it. So that's our hint that Luke Comstock is actually in town. And so they show a next scene over in Andy's dining room, and he's been made aware now that Luke Comstock is there. And so Andy's maybe getting a little bit concerned. Aunt Bee's really concerned. And Opie has a little bit of look of, you know, look like he's a little bit scared, but... you know, again, they start talking, and Andy starts to contemplate this a little bit and thinks, you know, maybe this isn't a bad idea to at least get prepared. So he sends Aunt Bee and Opie over to a neighbor's house, and we see a nice little scene between father and son where Opie comes back in by himself after helping clear the table for Aunt Bee with some dishes, and ask Andy if he's nervous or if he's scared. And Andy says he's not scared, but he's just a little bit nervous. So Opie and Aunt Bee leave out the front door, and we see another little interesting scene where Andy begins to think it might be serious enough that he actually goes and gets a gun that he's got hidden way up high on top of a cabinet-type thing, and then he pulls some bullets out of a drawer, so the gun was unloaded. That was, you know, a safety precaution because he does have a child in the house, and it was up high, so Opie would have to really work to get to it. So anyway, he starts to load the gun, then he sort of shakes it off, and you can tell he's thinking, no, this isn't going to happen. This is just Barney getting to me. And so he puts the gun back, and then finally the buzzer, say doorbell, but it was really a door buzzer on Andy Griffith's house. And so he goes in, lets Luke in, and Luke starts talking to him about what happened when he was laid up in the hospital, and tells him how he's being successful now with his interest in mathematics and electronics. He's opened up a chain of stores and pulls out the rifle. And it's interesting the way the camera angle works this. He's basically just bringing a rifle to give to Andy, but you see Gomer, Barney, and Otis out on the front porch looking in the window, and it looks like Luke is pointing the rifle at Andy, and Andy holds his hands up to show the wingspan of a bird, and it looks like he's being held up. And so Barney and Otis and Gomer, they flip the lights off, and then they run around the back of the house and jump in. And when the lights go out, Andy and Luke go to the front porch, flip them back on, and they hear a big rustling in the living room. They go back in. We see Barney and Otis and Gomer all tied up in a knot from a rope, and a gun pointing right at Barney's face, Andy makes a joke that it's a knot tying club. So again, all seem to be doing well. And Barney, again, as he does in many episodes in the Andy Griffith Show, misconstrues the situation and causes more trouble than is really necessary. So again, another neat little ending. And this episode ends a little bit differently with Otis coming to the courthouse. And you'll hear the word tick a lot quite a bit from Andy and Barney and Otis in this particular episode. But it's basically They keep talking about not wanting to talk about it anymore, but that's what they keep doing, is talking about the incident that occurred at the house last night. So again, another good little Andy Griffith show. Now, for the trivia question, in Barney's posse of Barney, Otis, and Gomer, who was carrying the rifle in the posse? Again, in Barney's posse, who was carrying the rifle? If you think you know the answer to the trivia question, you can email me at burke@mayberry.com. Or you can go to burkeonmayberry.com and look on the episode and trivia question page, and you'll see in parentheses beside the name, High Noon Mayberry, of this episode, and when you look in parentheses, you'll see the answer to this. And again, you can email your answer to me, and I'll respond to whether you got it right or not at Burke, B-U-R-K-E, at Mayberry.com. Again, I appreciate you listening to Burke on Mayberry.com. If you have any questions or comments about these and future episodes, I appreciate hearing from you. And as again, they say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours, and thanks again for listening to Burke on Mayberry.